Today's scripture is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22.
신약성경 히브리서 10장 22절 말씀 제가 봉독합니다.
Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Last time, we examined some people to accomplish upright heart. We examined those people who haven't changed their mind. Along with them was Ruth and David and Daniel and his three friends. I explained them to you, and I mentioned their upright hearts. Tonight, it's going to be the final message of upright heart. I hope that you can accomplish the upright heart with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, resembling those forefathers of faith. Brothers and sisters, to have unchanging heart, it is important to keep what we say. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. You know, we lose our trust when we see our family or friend or neighbor who does not keep their words. It's the same with those who break their promises. No, it's up to you how you make up your habit. When you are young, if you make yourself, keep promise or words, then it becomes natural for you to keep promises. On the contrary, if you easily break promise, or if you lie, or if you change what you say, then you don't even realize you are lying. Later, you will put blame on others for not understanding your situation of lying. They make an excuse. When it is close to the promised time, well, when I explain it to you, what kind of excuse do you come up with? Think about this. There's something on my clothes. That's why, I'm late. Or, I couldn't do my hair well. So, I'm late. Sometimes, many ladies, it takes long to, to put some makeup on, right? Nowadays, so many people say, because of traffic jam, I was late. They come up with this kind of excuse. In order to get rid of changing of mind, you should not make an excuse in any given situation. If you expect a traffic jam, you have to know the situation. So if it takes about an hour drive, then you have to come out even before. Nowadays, if you use your smartphone well, GPS will tell you how long it's going to take and where you're going to have in a traffic jam. You can avoid in a traffic jam in the area. However, some say, I couldn't expect in a traffic jam. Well, why don't you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? since you pray every day and you don't want to break your promise, then when you're moved by the heart of the Holy Spirit, then you will not be late. When our shepherd makes a promise, he always moves before the designated time. Like, say, if he made a promise at 9, then usually he comes to the place 10 before 9. He even calculates, you know, how long it's going to take, so how much, you know, more time he has to, you know, prepare so that, you know, he can arrive there earlier. So like, if it takes about a 30-minute driving, then he usually leave home, you know, like, you know, 40 or 50 minutes before. But what about the worship service? You know, you have to come to the worship service, you know, 10 minutes prior and read the Bible. And just like those, you know, students who study well because they review well, then you can worship God in spirit and truth, and Father God give you more grace. If you do so in Daniel Prayer Meeting and other various meetings, then Father God will be pleased with you. So I hope that you can keep it, even a trivial thing, as you prepare in advance. Now, I'm going to make an example of Jephthah. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, "Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God, it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands?" Some people say, it was my mistake to make a vow. You know, I made a vow when I was full of the Holy Spirit, but I now realize that I'm not qualified. But they seem to be very humble, but they changed their mind because it seemed to be difficult. No matter whether it is big or small, you have to check whether you change your mind easily. Even if it is a trivial thing, if you change your mind, then you have to remember that to please Father God, you have to keep whatever it is, no matter how trivial it is. And you have to keep promises that you made to your friends or people around you and get rid of that changing of mind. Jephthah in the Old Testament made a promise to Father God to win victory in a battle. And Jephthah kept the promise, just as he promised. It is written in Judges 11, verses 30 and 31. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed give the sons of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering." So Father God blessed him to win victory, and Jephthah came back home with joy. But the first person who welcomed Jephthah was not his servant. It was only begotten daughter. So can you imagine how he felt, who was about to give her daughter as a burnt offering? Judges 11:35 says, "When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, 'Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me.'" Because he was speaking, but actually this is what his daughter should speak. You know, his daughter was supposed to put blame on him. But you know what? No, it's actually the daughter's father who made that kind of promise. I mean, who made this kind of, you know, complaint. Not the father. But, you know, since he was too hurt in his heart, he said like this. However, Jephthah considered his vow important than giving his daughter as a burnt offering. He didn't come up with an excuse. He just kept his vow. What about you? You should be embarrassed if you break your promise. Furthermore, if you come up with excuse, how can you expect to change? Put yourself into the shoes of Jephthah. What would you do if you were like him? Since it is the vow that you made before Father God, would you keep it till the end and put it into practice? Or would you say, Father God would not want me to give my daughter as a burnt offering? And would you break the promise? Would you say, I didn't know, so I made a vow, and Father God is not pleased with the man offering? Would you break it like this? However, just as Judges 11:35 said, I've given my word to the Lord and I cannot take it back. And he kept it. Even though it was a great loss to him, since he said so before Father God, he kept it. Well, in a fleshly sense, he made a vow because he had an evil heart. If he had thought that, you know, it might be his daughter who would welcome him after he won the victory, then he would not have made such a vow. However, he thought that it would be one of his servants to welcome him when he arrived there. So, it is definitely evil in his heart to treasure the life of his daughter, but not the other's life. That's why he faced the trial. Even though it is a trial because of his evil doing, Father God turned it to goodness. What I'm saying is, in a spiritual sense, it is actually a blessing. He kept the promise that he made to Father God. And the daughter obeyed to become the burnt offering. So she will shine like a star in heaven. If Jephtha, you know, had a heart of goodness, he would not have made a vow like this, because he would have known that it is not the will of God to kill someone and give him as a burnt offering. But Father God made it written in the Bible to let you know it is important to keep the vow with Father God. Since Father God can search the hearts of people, when people made a vow, Father already knows whether he will keep the vow or not. What about Hannah, mother of Samuel? He knew that Hannah would keep her promise and give answer to her prayer. Hannah was greatly loved by her husband, but she couldn't conceive a baby. So she made a vow before Father God. As it's written in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Not having a razor come on his head means she will give the son unto him. So Father listened to her prayer and blessed her to conceive a baby. The baby became Samuel the prophet. 1 Samuel 1:22 says, But Hannah didn't go up. She said to her husband, I will go up until the child is weaned, and I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Just as she made a promise, she let her boy brought up in the temple of God. From the age of 5, Samuel was brought up in the temple of God. He learned the word of God. He learned how to pray, kneeling down. He feared God. He grew up like that. He didn't befriend the world. He didn't see or hear untruth or any form of evil. He was brought up completely in the temple of God. So, he was able to listen to the voice of God, and whatever he said was guaranteed by Father God. If we break ourselves like this and have the heart of the Lord, then we can listen to the voice of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit and be guided by Him. Just as Hannah made a vow, she gave Samuel to Father God. It wouldn't be easy to give the only son to Father God. Especially before, you know, it was about for the boy to be weaned. How lovely he must have been looked. You know, as you raise your children after, I mean, think about her heart. You know, you couldn't have a baby, but you made a promise to Father God, and you got pregnant. You received the answer to your prayer. Since you made a promise, you're about to give the son to Father God. You know, the boy will be able to listen to you. It's not easy to give the son to Father God. It wouldn't be an easy job for a mom to do. However, Hannah didn't hesitate. It was not sad to keep her vow to Father God. She rather gave thanks to Father God who gave her answer and grace. Since Father God knew her heart, He gave answer to her, and He was pleased when she kept her vow, and He blessed her more. He blessed Hannah to have three more sons and two more daughters. It is a blessing to keep the vow, to keep a vow before Father God. Even if the blessing doesn't come, you have to keep it. To keep His promise, our shepherd gave vowed prayer 200 days. He actually made a vow for 100 days of prayer. And when it was 90 days, his mother-in-law passed away. He couldn't attend his father-in-law passed away. So to preach the gospel to his family, he had to go there. While he was in a sickbed for 7 years, he was poor. So while he was sick, he couldn't come to such event. However, after he met God, and after he was healed, he should appear before his family to preach the gospel to his family. So, he went to the funeral, and the funeral took 3 days, but he prayed to God, avoiding people. He had to cry out to God when he is praying, but he couldn't cry, so he felt sorry. He didn't feel easy. So even though he prayed for 100 days, since he wanted to make it perfect, he made a vow of 100-day prayer again. Of course, he arrived there 10 minutes before, so 11:40 at night, and he prayed until 4 o'clock in the morning. Before we started the church, you know, the Korean people could not go out of house before 4 in the morning. But, you know, he prayed like that. Since he acted like that before Father God, and how much Father God was pleased with him. Even though you made a vow, even though you make a promise with a friend, you might say, well, it's okay, it's nothing, it will be fine. However, not long after he met God, since he made a vow to Father God, it was the unavoidable situation. However, since, you know, he couldn't cry out in his prayer, he made the promise again to give 100-day prayer. That's why Father God blessed him so much. If your heart is acknowledged by Father God as a sincere heart, then many prayers will be answered. No matter what it is, Father God will give you answers. Well, however, you shouldn't pray to receive this kind of fleshly blessing. Father God knows that true blessing is to have your spirit and soul get along well. So Father God waits until you have a sincere heart and full assurance of faith to give you a blessing and waits for you. I hope that you may understand Father God's heart and the shepherd who waits for you to come to Spirit quickly and accomplish the heart of Spirit. Through the cases of Jephthah and Hannah, we examined how they didn't betray their heart. I pray in the name of the Lord that you keep your lips and words of your lips, and do not lose trust from Father God, but receive blessing both in spirit and body. Worldly people say, there is no result without excuse. If you break a promise, even with your mom or father or with your friend, especially if you made a vow, if you made a promise with Father God, I will do that, I will give this much, I will do so, I will be faithful like this. You made vows like this. Remember that. And see whether you keep them or not, even at the threat of life. Even though it was a loss, Jephthah kept it. Examine your heart. Even if you fall short of that kind of heart, remember this message and keep your vow to have a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loved us even when we were sinners. To save us, He had a plan to give His only begotten Son as a burnt offering, even long before ages. Now, what if He had changed His mind, not sent Jesus? What about our Lord who came to this earth to be crucified on the cross, but changed His mind since it was too painful? What would have happened to us? Probably we would be the slave to the enemy devil and Satan, and we would end up in hell. However, thanks to our Father God and His love, never changing, and our Lord who gave His life, door of salvation opened to the whole mankind. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ now have hope for salvation and go to heaven. Those who feel this love of Father God and of the Lord accomplish the heart of Spirit without changing. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this." Those who possess true love of Spirit can give up everything for Father God, the Lord, and brothers and sisters in faith. From the perspective of love, let me tell you, let me examine some people who didn't change their mind, and I hope that you can also possess this love. If you truly love the Lord, you will surely have a sincere heart that will never change. Our Lord said in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." 하나님을 사랑하는 것은 To love God is to keep His commandments. Those who keep His Father God's commandments is the one who love Father God. And our Lord said again, John 14:24, He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Those who do not love Father God and the Lord do not keep His word. Now think about this. Among parents and children, among neighbors and friends, someone said they love you, but they don't listen to you. They try to do as they please. They don't, even if you ask their favor, they don't listen. Then, can you say they love me? Since they don't love God, they love the world. They look at the world. They befriend the world. So even if they listen to the word of God, they cannot cast off the world. It's difficult for them to do so. But if you love God and the Lord, you will dislike the worldly things. Why? Because our Father God and the Lord dislike it. And so does our shepherd. Those things hinder you from going to Father God's land, and they are hostile to God. So those who love Father God, those who believe in God, do not like it from their heart. Those who love the Lord keep the word of the Lord. Those who don't love the Lord, they don't live by the word of the Lord. Those who don't love the Lord cannot keep the Sabbath day holy. They cannot give the full tithe. So it's difficult for them to keep the commandments. They cannot love even though they are told to love. They hate, they got ill feelings, they judge and condemn. And they do deeds that Father God dislikes. Since they are short of love for Father God, the Lord and the Shepherd so much. If you love someone, you want to do everything that the person wants. You want to obey her or him. Among husband and wife, Senior Pastor loves Mrs. Bonini so much. Whatever she wants, Senior Pastor has given it to her, whatever it is. And what about Mrs. Bonini? She loves her children. So whatever we want, she always gives it to us. What about your brothers and sisters? Since you love each other, you obey them, and you listen to them, right? Among friends, among neighbors, among siblings, if you love them, you will listen to them. Mrs. Bonini once said this. If Senior Pastor got healed and he's doing his ministry, if I met God and loved God, the Senior Pastor would also love God. He would do the same. I'm not sure about other men, but I believe that the Senior Pastor would have done that. He always shows unchanging love all the time. I hope that, you know, you believe that, right? So anyway, so no matter it is your parent or your friend or your brother or sister, if you love them, you do as they please. Do you remember you loved a teacher? Some students, you know, put in the flowers or some snacks on his table, or, you know, you follow him wherever he went, right? Didn't you have those days? You studied that subject well, a lot more. I think you remember those days. And so did teacher. You know, when we were not, you know, we used to drink in the tap water, right? Because we didn't have natural and mineral water. And there were many teachers who, you know, brought their lunchbox and, you know, gave it to their students. There were teachers like that. If you love, you will do what your loved one wants. What about our shepherd? He got sick for 7 years, but after he met the Lord and healed, he hated what Father God hates. He loved the pork, but when he heard that Father God hated pork, he disliked it. When Father God disliked darkness, He never put dark clothes on us. Nowadays, I can see some women members who put on a dark navy clothes. Then I felt a little bit awkward.
Of
course, you know, the world trend is to put on a dark clothes to make you slim. But don't look at each other. Don't look at each other. I'm not telling you to, you know, to give you trouble in your heart. Even though it is a trivial thing, I'm not saying, you know, putting on a dark navy suit is a sin, but since Father God hates darkness, while we were growing up, I don't recall any day when we put on a dark color clothes. Back then, we just thought that, you know, he does not like, you know, dark color clothes. Then later, when we heard it, since his heart is heaven already, he looks for or finds something that is similar to the color of heaven, and he likes it, and he loves it. That's what I realized one day. If you have heaven in your heart, since you are running your Christian life in this church, when you go out of this church, when you see some people who left this church, you see those people start to put on a dark colored clothes. The color of darkness is the color of the enemy devil. So our senior pastor always gives us advice not to put any, you know, dark color device or things. So many people, when they come to Mommy Church for the first time, they see like, you know, it's like heaven in the sanctuary. Since you have hope for heaven, and since you know that what Father God hates, look and examine your heart, whether you tolerate since it is not sin. And remember what our shepherd did. He taught us what Father God hates, you know, about in dark colored clothes, even though it is not sin. If it is what Father God hates, then He taught us not to do that things. Since he loved God from the first time, he realized all the fleshly love is in vain. After he met God, he learned that there is not a single person who can love me other than God. He is the only one who loves me, who can protect me and save me. With that kind of heart, he started to love Father God foremost of all, and that heart has never changed. If it is something that Father God is pleased with, if it is a way of suffering, he took it by giving his life. But he didn't do it reluctantly, but he did it with joy and happiness. Now, we have witnessed it for the last 34 years of Manmin. When I went to see Senior Pastor in Prayer House, sometimes I felt strange. You know, while he is in the Prayer House, sometimes, you know, I went to Prayer House to see him. For the last 34 years after he started his church, he has never said that I've missed you. He has never used the expression of love before to us. But from someday, he started to say, I missed you. And whenever when see us, you know, he asked us, when are you going to leave? In the last in the Chuseok holiday, we went there, and he said, when are you going to leave? The next day, he asked me again, when will you go? When will you go home? And I said, we'll say goodbye, and then he said, why don't you stay longer? Why do you have to leave now? When he said, I will miss you, and I thought to myself that we said each other, he's different now. He didn't use the kind of expression before. Then I realized, and I recalled senior pastor who started this Manmin church. He was more delicate and gentle than any father. He was the husband who loved his wife better than anybody. Mrs. Wonglin Lee told us what he was like before he met God. She said, he never let me sit by other men, you know, since, you know, she worked outside, you know, when there was a picnic in her company, you know, chances are that, you know, she happened to sit beside, you know, other men. Then whenever he saw the picture, Senior Pastor said, since the world is so evil, you should keep yourself away from men. He also taught his children to protect them from the world. And he cared about button and zippers. If there is a button on our back, you know, even, you know, some evil, you know, children will play with it. You know, he used to, you know, tell us like that. Back then, we didn't understand why he was saying like that. And so, we didn't put any clothes with the buttons on back. But then, we came to learn that, you know, the worldly, you know, men of the world, not all of them, you know, had that kind of mind. Since we were poor, he didn't take us to a theme park. But when it was a special day, he tried to give us a small thing. We got together, and he played with us. He tried to play with us all the time. He taught us our duty to our parents. He told us ahead of our marriage day or Father's Day or Mother's Day or birthday so that, you know, we were able to prepare for those special days. Then we grew up like this to prepare ourselves to give before Father God. He studied and he taught us what he studied so that we could learn in advance. He taught us how to read fast. He taught us the things of the world and hearts of the world. Even though we were little girls, he tried to give us faith and confidence that we can do anything in Father God. He taught us the glory of heaven. And he taught us how blessed life it is to give our lives to Father God. He was such a gentle and delicate father. I could recall it. Even though he met God and became a pastor, right before he started his ministry, Pastor Myung Lee was 10, I was 8, and Pastor Sujin Lee was 5 years old. We had that kind of memory of a daddy. Even though it was not so long years, after he met God, he started his ministry for souls, and he gave that love to souls. Since he loves God so much, he chose a way for souls that Father God loves so much. Since he loves Father God so much, for the last 34 years of Man Min, he has obeyed to the will of Father God. The love and devotion that he used to give to his wife and children, to souls. He didn't even treasure his life, but sacrificed and lived his life like that for the last 6 years. No, for the last 34 years. Just like he truly loves Father God, and live his life for souls, we should live that kind of life. As you can see, if we love, we will obey. But we will love not by force, but from our heart. So you can discern how much you love God, how much you love the Lord. You can discern it by your deeds. But our Lord said in Matthew 5:48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He told us to be perfect because Father God is perfect. The way we go is the way of life, way of eternal life, way to heaven. Especially it is a way to New Jerusalem. So we can walk this way with joy and happiness. We have a clear goal. Even if you have a huge mansion, if you don't have any loved one in that mansion, if you stay alone in that mansion, do you think it is true happiness? Even though it is a shabby cabin, if there is the loved one, then that's true happiness. However, we will have the most beautiful house, wealth, honor, fame, and we will live together with the ones that we loved much. There will be true happiness and joy. Our way, the rose of New Jerusalem is a rose of gold. But that's not the reason you want to go to New Jerusalem. There are beautiful mansions and beautiful angels. But that's not the reason you want to go to New Jerusalem. The reason you want to go to New Jerusalem is that our loved Father, Lord of love, who gave us his life, and the Shepherd, who embraced us with his love and paid the price of justice for us and took sufferings on behalf of us and gave intercessory prayer to Father God, such a Shepherd, who loves us more than we love us ourselves, who desires for us to live in New Jerusalem. That's the reason we want to go to New Jerusalem. Therefore, going to New Jerusalem, that is, casting of sin, is not a difficult job. That's why our Lord said, since Father God is perfect, you are to be perfect. Do not judge, do not condemn, understand in goodness. Love even your enemies. Those who keep these words can naturally cast off evil from their hearts, but fill their hearts with goodness. They will eventually circumcise their hearts. They will have a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. The heart resembles the heart of the Lord. However, so many people say they love the Lord, but their heart is not a sincere heart, which means they don't truly love the Lord. If you love the shepherd, the way our shepherd takes will follow the way. That is the evidence of our true love for him. There are many people in the world who change their mind and change their love if conditions are not met. It is fleshly love. But the love that our Lord showed to us is unconditional love. It is love of sacrifice, of giving his own life. That's true love, love of spirit, spiritual love. However, those who say they love the Lord do not have this spiritual love. Even though they go to church, when it is time to sacrifice themselves for the kingdom of God, they hesitate. Not all of them, I think. In my group, you know, someone does not like to be a leader. And I felt sorry for him.
Now,
wouldn't be the one? Even though it is a little duty. When you met God for the first time, you wanted to do any kind of job, but what kind of heart do you have now? You wanted to give everything to Father God. You wanted to be faithful in whatever you do. But do you still do that? In obedience to the word of God. I hope you can examine your heart like this. Don't you hesitate when it is time for you to sacrifice yourself for the Lord? Even though our Lord died for us, you are late and slow to pay back for the grace that you received. But there are people who never forget the grace and love that they received from the Lord. One example, just as our shepherd explained, this message was delivered by our shepherd in 2003. Now, senior pastor asked you and said, there are many Mami members who love the Lord and Father God just as Apostle Paul did. I believe that more of you, there are more and more people, more Mami members who love Father God and the Lord like this. One example is Apostle Paul. He was an expert of the law. Before he realized the providence of salvation through Jesus Christ, he was the one hunting for the people who believe in Jesus. Since he didn't know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he thought it was his duty to kill those people. However, he met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus, and his life completely changed. His heart was melted down when he met the Lord, who loved him, who was trying to kill those people who believe in the Lord. That's why he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Whenever Apostle Paul thought about the providence of salvation of Jesus Christ, his heart was overflowing with the grace that he received from the Lord. That's why he said, I am foremost of all. How could I receive such grace? And his heart he had for the Lord never changed. But many people lose their first love for the Lord after many days pass by. Father God, thank you for sending your only begotten Son who was crucified for me. Thank you. Lord, I love you. I'll live for you. With all my heart and life, I will live for your kingdom. They made such a confession, but it pulled down. Even though you go to church, even though you got duty, don't you do it as a habit? Do you still have that grace that that you received from the Lord? Do you have that still in your heart? Father God receives the aroma of your heart. Even though we worship God in the same place, at the same time, in the same sanctuary, Father God receives the aroma of our heart. How thick the aroma of love and heart is. Father God smells it.
그런 사람이 마음 중심까지 보시는 그 마음으로 하나님을 찬양하고
Even though people say, I love you, while singing and worshiping, but if the aroma is true, then Father God cannot smell it. As you watching in the Mommy magazine, can't you feel the fervor of those members of the branch churches? Even though it is a trivial thing, Pastor Hazel Lee went there on behalf of our senior pastor. But they loved to shake hands with her, receiving a prayer. They have waited for it. When you were fervent with the first love for the Lord, you made up your mind to live for the Lord. I will do anything that if you give to me. You were so fervent like that. You still have it. And you still give the same aroma to Father God. You should never change in your faithfulness and devotion. Think about Apostle Paul. After he met the Lord and before he was martyred, his love for the Lord got more fervent. He confessed that he was the foremost of all sinners. He humbled himself in the Lord. No matter what it is beneficial to him, for the Lord, he took it as garbage. Since Apostle Paul loved the Lord like this, he got nothing? No way. He said in Philippians 3:8, I may gain Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 10, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering is with me. He got rid of what Father God hated and untruth. Then he gained Christ. And he gained eternal life. And he received the power of God. He faced trials and refinements and difficulties. However, his love for the Lord didn't change. That's why he gained such things. Apostle Paul's way was not an easy way. He said in the 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26 and 27, I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers of rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. In his travel, he couldn't pack a lot. There were no cars, no airplanes. He had to walk. He had to travel by sheep. Pastor Su-jin Lee went on a mission trip, right? And she said, is it Africa? Is it Israel? Is it home? Whenever she opened her eyes, she didn't know where she was. But compared to airplanes and escorts of the police officers, think about the ministry of Apostle Paul. Well, we could do such easy ministry thanks to our shepherd. But Apostle Paul didn't do so. He had to walk. He was exposed to many dangerous animals. He had to sleep in the wilderness. He had to walk all day long. He couldn't find a place to sleep in. He had to fight against the hunger and coldness. But he confessed in Romans 8:37, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Since he loved God, since he knew the love of God, even though it is a difficult job, he said he could conquer it. Apostle Paul and other forefathers of faith never complained. His love for the Lord never changed in any given situation or persecution or difficulties. What about us? Didn't you complain when it is hard? Didn't you complain? Didn't you lose heart? If you can be faithful in all house, New Jerusalem will be given to you. If you are sanctified, New Jerusalem will be yours. Apostle Paul knew this. He had faith in it. At the threat of life in any given situation or hardships never changed. Our forefathers of faith were the same in the both Old and New Testaments. When they received comfort and strength of the Lord, when it was difficult, they could accomplish even stronger love. They didn't change their hearts in a given situation like this. When they showed the deeds of their love for the Lord, our Lord surely gave them comfort and answer. If you truly depend on the Lord and beg for His help, then our Lord will surely give it to you. He is ready to help you. Whenever Apostle Paul faced difficulties, he loved the Lord all the more. Since he didn't change his mind in any persecution, our Lord was with him all the time, comforted him, and gave him strength. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 7:4, "Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'm filled with comfort. I'm overflowing with joy in all our affliction." For example, while preaching the gospel in Philippi, and Apostle Paul and Silas was imprisoned after beaten a lot. He didn't do anything wrong. But they became naked and beaten a lot and bled and fastened in the prison. Even though he was treated like this, he didn't change his mind and doubted the love of the Lord. He didn't complain. He didn't say, "Is my Lord with me?" He rather said, and it is written in Acts 16:25, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Then there was an earthquake, the prison opened. Due to this event, the prisoner and his family accepted Jesus Christ, and the church was established there." No matter what happened, he rejoiced and gave thanks and sang praises to Father God, and a church was established in that place. Through such events, Apostle Paul's faith and love for the Lord grew stronger, and he accomplished perfect love that has no fear. Until his life was over, he was faithful for the will of God. Just as our Lord said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. He died as martyrs to prove his love for the Lord. His love for the Lord never changed. It grew even stronger. And eventually, Apostle Paul, sitting on the most precious position in heaven, he stays close to the throne of Father God, and he will enjoy glory and honor forever and ever. Our Father said, I love those who love me. Father God accepted love and devotion and faithfulness of Apostle Paul and blesses him back. We didn't receive the grace of first love just once. Every day, every week, every month, every year, our Father God gives the grace whenever we are in difficulties. Through the delicate love of the shepherd, through the sacrifice of the shepherd, through his power, Father God has given us the blessing of health, finance, and family all the time, overflowingly. So why do you say your life is full of difficulties and why you have to recover the first love? If you depend on the love of the Father God and the Lord and the Shepherd and don't change your heart, then you can remember the grace that you received from the Lord. I hope you can remember it and repent and turn back. The love that we received when he became a pastor, that love has been shown to all the members of Manmin. He said, even though it is difficult to work as a pastor, it's difficult, but you know, your position, your glory will be greater in heaven. He taught us not to go to the way of the world. Always taught us to care of us from head to toe. He does so to our members as well. Even though he cannot see well, he cannot hear well. I'm not sure how much you realize this, but whenever you have a meeting, our senior pastor always looks at you from head to toe. And what change was made the next time you met him? You know, sometimes, you know, I think you know, he put on the same clothes for all three daughters. He always wants you to put on the best clothes, look best, become the best fruit before Father God. That's why he gives all the love to you. That's the love of the shepherd. I hope you can embrace it and engrave it in your heart and make up your mind to give that love to the souls around you. Check whether you lost the first love that you got from the Lord. For the last 34 years, he has shown the love without changing. Whenever you look up to the sky, you feel the love of Father God, right? Father, I want to see the rainbow. And Father God has shown you rainbow from time to time. Wherever you are, Father God is with you, and he has shown you the evidence. Father God loves me this much. Not because you have experienced. You should be able to feel it wherever you are. Believe it and run your race of faith. If you do so, you will feel the love of Father God even more. And you will see it's not difficult to cast off the worldly things. You will do it with, rather with joy and thanks. Love of the Lord, Father God, and the Shepherd. Do not forget it, but keep it in your heart and change yourself. Let me conclude this message. Brothers and sisters, I've delivered the message about upright heart. In the first and second part, I told you to cast off changing of mind to possess upright heart, no matter how small or big it is. And I explained to you about the evil attributes to have you with the changing of mind. And I told you about cunningness of Pharaoh and Saul the king and Asa. And I also explained General Joab, Ananias and Sapphira, and Judas Iscariot. I mentioned them in the first and second part of this message. In Upright Hearts, Part 3 and 4, I made examples of those who had the unchanging mind and how they kept the truth and what kind of blessing they received. I made examples of Ruth, David, of Daniel and his three friends, Jephthah, Hannah, Shepherd, and Apostle Paul. Well, these people, when they kept the truth in the heart, because of unchanging mind, sometimes they faced difficulties. It wasn't easy all the time. However, they didn't change their mind, and consequently, they received blessing from Father God. They rose, might look rows of thorns, foggy ways, but those with unchanging mind, it is a shortcut to the blessing. Their faith, hope, love for Father God has never changed in any given situation. So Father God didn't let go of those people with a sincere heart. Father God rather gave them strength and blessed them. Psalm 84, verse 5 says, "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways of Zion." I pray in the name of the Lord that you may possess sincere heart in full assurance of faith and be acknowledged by Father God, so that your ways will be prosperous in all the time. And may the blessing of Father God be with you all the time. Let's think over the message and pray together.
우리도 늘 변개하지 않는 마음과 행함을 이루어서 아버지 원하시는 참마음과 온전한 믿음을 만들어갈 수 있는 복된 성도님들 되어지기를 원합니다. 목자님의 사랑과 그 희생과 그 눈물에 보답해드릴 수 있는 모두가 되어지기를 원합니다. 감사하며 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
Let's receive senior pastor's prayer for the sick on screen. Lay your hand on the sick part of your body. If you are not sick, lay your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer, through satellites and internet and on GCN TV, in branch churches or local sanctuaries around the world. Give them faith to believe and drive away all negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases and germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. May the light come. Scorch all the terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And drive away all endemic diseases such as malaria. All contagious diseases such as cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, uterine cancers, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid diseases, heart diseases, lung diseases, women's diseases, and all inflammations. Go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains. Go away. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf come to hear, and the mute come to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents and fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let there be no scar left, Father. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated and bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. May you receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, ruler of the air, and evil forces of darkness, go away. And their servants also go away. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, false spirits, deceiving and separating spirits. All forces of darkness loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, you go away. May the light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and power to cast off sins and to become sanctified. Just as their soul prospered, let all things go with them. Let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the firewall of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, with your blessing eyes, protect all your children, their family, workplace, and business. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them fervent passion to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from the worldly things, and let them love Father God all the more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they may do, let them do it all for the glory of Father God. Let them say, I met God, I experienced God, I received answers and blessings from Father God. Let them testify like this. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.